World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I can't believe it's Friday morning already. In fact, I wanted to start off today because one of the most impactful things in the history of my life was November 22nd, 1963, when JFK got killed. And of course, that's tomorrow. And Saturday, we don't do a show on Saturday. I was going to talk a little bit about that, and how that changed the world. And here still we are, how many years removed from it? I was in the fifth grade. And how many years removed from it? We still don't really know what happened. We know what happened. I mean, come on. I mean, we don't really know what happened, but we know that the whole Oswald story, we know that that's a fraud. And if they lied to us about that, what else have they lied to us about? And that's why I come here every day. And my wife, when I get done, she says, honey, you just say the same thing over and over and over. Well, because until we realize it, that the whole battle that we're in is the battle over truth, over truth. And it appears in so many different ways. But it doesn't matter where you are, what your walk in life is, what you're doing. You will every day in your daily walk be confronted by lies and truth. And at some point, you're going to have to make the decision or through the discernment of the Holy Spirit, that's true and that's not. And if you come to the point where you realize something's not true, then you got to say something. You got to say something about it. You have to say something about it. And that causes conflict. None of us like to be criticized. Who likes to be criticized? Nobody likes that. And it's not criticism. Truth isn't criticism. And I got a lot to dump on you. But I was coming down my multi-million-dollar studio here today, and when I came down, the Holy Spirit said something to me. And then I did what I often do. I said into the phone a scripture. I said, "Where's this scripture?" And I said into it, and I want to share it with you because we got communion. Get communion. Get ready. Bring up Colossians. It's Colossians 1:13. I just Googled. I came down and sat down and Googled it because what the Holy Spirit said to me, okay? Go down to the King James Version if you can, Spence. He who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Hey, Joe Carrico, you ever think of darkness having power?
Huh? I think every kid does when they get scared in the dark.
Scared of the dark, right?
Because darkness can hide stuff. You know,
there's
that's
power
one of the
big
powers
it,
of darkness is it
there's
can see
power
us.
In darkness, right? And Christ did what? Delivered us from the power of the darkness. He didn't deliver us from the darkness. He delivered us from the power of it and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Folks, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's a whole nother teaching. It's a whole nother teaching. We've been so... Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, Lord, guide us into all truth here today. I got some wonderful. I said this the other day. Get ready, Joe. I'm going to get you in here. I promise. That we're at the crucible. We're at the crucible. We're going to talk about some of that stuff this morning. Meaning what? Well, meaning we're in the middle of it right now, baby. We're in the middle of the boiling pot for sure. And I'm going to show you some of that. First of all, I want to tip my cap to Spencer and Jared, because I bought a new used computer. And you know what I'm saying? I went to a guy, sold me a used computer. It seemed like a nice one. I've been having more trouble with that freaking thing. I wanted to throw it more. My whole life's on the computer, on my laptop. And Jared and Spencer yesterday, I don't know how they do it. They download something. Next thing I know, they're in my computer. And now it's running again. So praise the Lord. I didn't lose all that data and all that stuff and on there. Hey, folks, have you really considered this? I think we all need to think about this seriously, because there's a real spiritual war taking place in America. Why America? America is the beacon of liberty to the world, has always been, right? And if you were the devil, would you not want to take out Washington, D.C.? Would you not want to take out America? If we're the shining city set on the hill. And so we have to understand all the stuff that's going on around us. But some of the stuff I'm going to get into today, just bear with me a second. You better tighten your belt. I'll talk a little bit about that this morning. Why do you say, Coach, what do you mean by that? Because the devil ain't playing. He's losing and he ain't playing. And we're going to see some stuff, whether it be attacks on our homeland again. Remember, how long have I been saying they're going to bring that Islam monster out after us again, right there? That boogeyman, the Muslims, here come the Muslims. I'm telling you. And we're going to see, heaven forbid, we need to pray against it, some type of mass destruction somewhere, maybe more than one place in America. We're going to see it. Because the devil knows his time is short. That's kind of what I said. I don't want to get buried in all that. I got some great stuff. I need a month, and not because I'm so wise, but I've trained myself to hear the Holy Spirit. Have you done that? Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear it? And then the other question is, do you obey it? It's one thing he tell you. My wife would say to me, "Honey, would you please go out and pull the weeds?" And I heard her. And then the next morning she says, "When are you going to pull those weeds?" Well, I heard her. So you can't just hear the word. You have to obey it. Obey it. And then she comes home and the weeds are pulled, and then she wants to give me a big kiss and cook me a big hamburger and everything. Right? You with me? With me? Obedience. That's what obedience does to us. And a lot of times obedience, you don't want to do obedience because it comes with a consequence, friends. Obedience always comes with a consequence. Something dies when you obey. Man, that's the Holy Spirit. That's good, isn't it? Something dies when you obey. And we don't want it to die, so we don't obey. Whether it be a pride, whatever it might be. Whatever he says unto you, do it, is what the scripture says. And he says stuff to us, and we don't do it. And we don't do it. And we wake up, and we're in the mess that we're in today. Oh, I got so much I want to share with you. And Joe's going to lead us in communion. And again, friends, I don't even know what this gathering is. Fellowship. I believe this in the bottom of my heart, okay? I love all my pastor friends out there. I love them all. But I believe that we're riding a horse in the days of the airplane. Christianity, I'm talking about local church, still riding on a horse. When our weaponry, our arsenal is so much more powerful than what it is being used to do, casting down imaginations, every high and lofty thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity the obedience of Christ, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of that stuff, folks, everything that you, I'm sorry what your theology is. Everything you read in the scripture is about the advancement of a kingdom. Everything you read in it. You can find parts in there about, the evacuation. I mean, you can find all that stuff. You can find it all in there. But the scriptures, the Bible is a story of victory and how to walk in victory, how to overcome these forces of darkness. Two kingdoms, right? We read about the king, delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Most people are born in the kingdom of darkness. And then we want to get out of that kingdom of darkness, but we want to have a foot in both kingdoms. Somebody say amen. We want a foot in both kingdoms. And that don't work. That's called treason. If we would be honest, I'm looking at myself. Much of my life, since I've been saved by the blood of Jesus, 1978, January 28th, 1978, much of my action has been treasonous to the kingdom. Would somebody give me a thumbs up? Anybody agree with it? 87. Michelle's listening. 87. 1987. Huh? Much of my behavior has been treasonous to my king. My refusal to engage, my refusal to step into the battle, my refusal to confront evil, my refusal to deny myself the comforts of life is treasonous to my king. And of course, we all know this. None of us get to heaven based on what we did. None of us do. Sacrifice to the king. The king sacrificed himself. And it's only through that that we are able to make it into the kingdom. And to think that we're going to go into that marvelous kingdom, which I'm already in, by the way. Why? Kingdom of God's within. King, it's within. And so I'm already dabbling in that kingdom. And when I die, because the king died for me. I didn't die for the king. The king died for me. And then I have the most important thing. I got to die to myself. He died for me. Now I got to die for, I got to die to myself. I got to kill myself. That's hard, man. It's hard in this world. And I look at how many people in this queue right here in this queue, people who are struggling with a lot of different things, finances. I mean, the finances in the world's off the, it's off the charts, isn't it? Inflation, how much houses cost, how much gas, well, gas is kind of stabilized, but living expenses, now more taxes, property taxes. Most people can't get beyond the burden of not having enough money. And I understand that. I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. I'm just telling you that some of you out there, some of us are doing everything we can to survive from day to day. You don't have to say amen because I know it's the truth. And I suppose those of us who know better have not expanded the kingdom of God. We allow ungodly men to rule over us. And we'll get into that today. Everett, shut up. Here I am 12 minutes in, and Joe's waiting to do communion. Go ahead. By the way, as Joe says, this is the meal that heals. The Bible also tells you this. Don't take this thing unworthily. Don't you dare take the body of Christ unworthily. What's that mean? Well, it's not anything you can do other than confess your sins and lay them on the table and say, Lord, I screwed up again. Daggone, I screwed up again. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Because the last thing I want to do is to take this when I don't deserve it. And I get to take this not because of something I did, because of something you did. And I acknowledge my sinfulness, the times I come up short, and I thank you for your grace, your mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. How many of you deserve the grace of God? Give me a break. Huh? Unmerited favor. Unmerited. Go ahead, Joe. Thanks for getting up.
Morning, Coach. The reading this morning is Galatians 2, 16 to 21. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
So I got to stop right there, folks. Hang on, folks. Justified. Tim Tuber does a great teaching on this. Justified. What does it mean to be justified? Knowing that a man is not justified. There's something that happens that makes you just, makes you justified. And it's not by the law. It's not following rules and regulations in the Sabbath and not eating shrimp. And it, I mean, that can all be part of it, but ain't none of that stuff going to do you any good. The works of the law by faith in Jesus Christ. It's been justified. Go ahead, Joe.
Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the words of the law, the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Somebody help me out. How many times is that word in there so far, justified there? How many different times we see it?
It's coming again, Coach.
Yep.
But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin?
Wow.
God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Joe, if I can just stop you a second, as I was, I hear the Holy Spirit, folks. So I looked up justified. I went to Webster's real quick. You don't have to go there, Spencer. I'll read it. Justified. To prove or show to be just or conforming to the law. In theology, it is to pardon and clear from guilt. To absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. And to accept as righteous on account of the life, on account of the merits of the Savior by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. It ain't anything you did. He did. He paid the bill. He justified. He balanced the books. Now, you can keep going in debt if you want to. You keep running that credit card up and have to go back and borrow some more money from the Lord. It'd be a lot better if you just quit, tore up that sin credit card. Go ahead, Joe.
That's the reading, Chris. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning with gratitude in our hearts, gratitude for everything you've done for us and that you're still working in our lives. When we stop and look and listen, we see God winks all around us. How you stop things that could have been really, really terrible from happening, or that could have caused us heart pain or loss from happening. You just stop them. If we step back and see, sometimes we can even see how the Holy Spirit set things up a day or two before so that something wouldn't go wrong. And we don't see it at the time because we are stuck in the moment, Lord, and you are above and outside time and see the beginning, the middle, and the end of the parade at the same time. We're starting to understand how you're actively helping us in our lives, Lord. And in that light, we also, as I prayed last week, we're also the ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And help us to walk better in his shoes, Lord. Help us to be and do what he would do, what our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in us, would do in the situations that we come across. And not react with our attitude, with our anger, but with love or with righteous anger, depending on the circumstances, Lord. And righteous anger, I think, probably has roots in love. So, Lord, we also pray again for Tina Peters, who has not been released. We pray, Lord, that you spotlight that the dark parts of the Department of Justice in the once great state of Colorado that is now in my eye and many of our eyes a mockery of what it should be. Spotlight truth there, Lord. Spotlight the restrictions that the judge put upon the defense and not being able to present the real defense and let real truth pour out and let them be ashamed, Lord. Let them be ashamed. And keep her well, Lord. She's in your hands. All we can do for her right now is probably what we're doing right now, praying for her. She's a gold star mom, Lord. Her son was murdered. The SEAL with both parachutes failed. That doesn't happen by accident, Lord. We know. And her husband was also murdered. She has paid a double price already. And she never had even a speeding ticket. And that judge had the gall to say that she's the most evil, worst person to be in that courtroom in the history of that courtroom. What? Show those words, Lord, to the public and show the truth that makes those words lies. And let the justice system in that state be ashamed. And then let them fear as constitutional authority returns across this great nation. It's starting. We all feel it's already started. It'll come to places like Colorado, New York, California, Massachusetts, places that have things that are warped because of the undue influence of ungodly thinking and ungodly people. And now, Lord, we ask that any of us who have pains in our bodies or our souls, that we put that on the altar this morning, Lord. Put that, those on the altar and ask to be healed, Lord, with this little meal that we take, this little big meal, the meal that heals. We know that we have to receive a healing. And our Lord, he purchased it 2,000 years ago with his stripes. It was predicted hundreds of years before he was born that that would happen. In Isaiah 53:5. And so, Lord, let this be the meal that heals. Let this gift that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has given us, if we try to visualize it, we can look at a Christmas present, because he was our Christmas present. A Christmas present wrapped in the most beautiful foil wrapping you've ever seen. Let's say silver and gold, because silver and gold are mine, says the Lord. And let the bow be red for the blood that he shed. Let us unwrap that present and receive that gift of healing. And we know that communion is a sacred thing. So we ask, Lord, that you forgive our sins and transgressions as we come to your side. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for us so many years ago. And we come again on our spiritual knees in gratitude, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Tom. Well, there's a storm brewing. There's a storm brewing. Anybody, before I jump in, I got something really on my heart I want to get into real quick. Anybody have anything urgent for the good of the group before I dive in? Because it's going to take me about 10 or 15 minutes to do this, and then we'll go from there. Anybody all? Throw your hand up now. Come on in. Anything you specifically need prayer for, anything at all? I'll wait. Rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of darkness. It's a kingdom of darkness. Hey, friends, you do know this, don't you? There's no way that the United States, America, can continue like this. The Bible says, can two walk together lest they agree? And the problem we find ourselves in right now, in my not-so-humble opinion, is we don't know who the hell our team is, really. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A divided house can stand. A divided house. I live in a divided house. I got a couple floors and rooms and my bedroom somebody can sleep in. My wife and I are in another bedroom. We have different bathrooms. We have a divided house. But you can't have a divided house if my wife's in one room throwing bombs at me in the other room. And so we're a house divided, for sure. And I'm talking about Christianity. It just can't continue like this. It just can't. And I'm going to dig in and try to expose something to you today that maybe will help all of us understand. John C's got his hand up. I ask anybody they have anything. Come on in, John.
Yeah, hey, maybe this ain't a great time for the sarcasm.
It's all right. Good. Oh, John Collison. Good to hear you, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, brother. I hate to be a little sarcastic, but I've seen this commercial about 5 times now, and I scream at my phone every time I see it. And MSNBC and NBC said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to be calm and give out facts. So I guess we're in good luck. We're in good standing here, coach, because they're going to calm everything down. We're going to fix everything because they're not going to be drive-by anymore, I guess.
Good, good. They're going to start telling us all the truth. Is that what's going on, John?
Well, you know, that's what they're saying. But, I mean, come on, let's get realistic.
Amen. Amen. So I want to share this with you. Bear with me, folks. I don't want this show to be about me. I don't want it to be about me, okay? But it is Coach Dave Live. And I write a commentary a week. And sometimes it's a burden because I just don't really want it. And I sat down in front of my computer yesterday and I had no idea where I was going. And I wrote something that I think is pretty, pretty significant. And I'd just like to take you through that with me, if you will, just a second. Because look, as we sit here right now, did anybody out there notice that President Donald Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance were not invited Dick Cheney's funeral? The current president of the United States, not even invited.
I saw that this morning.
Huh? Is that unbelievable? Now, I can show you some pictures. I could go through here and show. Maybe, Spencer, maybe you can do that real quick. Google real quickly for me the deep state, Spencer. Pictures of those who attended the funeral. Pictures of those who attended Cheney's funeral. They're all there, folks. They're all there. They're all there. See if you can pull it up. Who's in the crowd? Who's in the crowd? Look who's in the crowd. I can see a bigger picture of who's in the crowd. And they're all there. There they are. There they are. There is the Uniparty. There it is, folks. There is the Uniparty. Liz Cheney, going back. Show that, if we can find it, that picture, George Bush. And stuff. Huh? There they are. There they are. Mike Pence right in the front row, right with Kamala Harris. And then Joe Biden and his wife, Jill, and then George Bush and his wife, and then behind him is Al Gore. Where the hell's Al Gore been? Huh? And then, what, folks, there they are. There they are.
No, there wasn't no American flag on that coffin.
Well, that's a whole different story. That's not where I'm going this morning. That's not where I'm going this morning. Because here's where I'm going to go this morning. What was the joy? Oh, I'll get to it. Huh? Anybody heard from Al Gore lately? Look at that. Look at that guy. He's there. Huh? Pelosi's there. What? and the President of the United States not invited? Oh my goodness. They're all there, folks. The deep state are all there. Dick Cheney was one of the leaders of the deep state. Hang on, I'm going to let you come in here. I promise. Go ahead, Johnny, real quick, because then I'm going to explode. Go ahead.
Hey, sorry to interject. I don't know if it's true or not, because I can't really see the screen, but I listened to Bill O'Reilly this morning. He said Bill Clinton and Barack didn't show up for that.
Rachel Maddow was there. Rachel Maddow at Dick Cheney's funeral. What? Oh, folks. Sometimes you just open your eyes, look around, you see what's going on. See what's going on. Go ahead, Dave. Then after Dave, everybody stop, because I'm going to expose it to you. The Holy Spirit gave it to me. Go ahead, Dave.
My mind, they did him a favor.
And they did him a favor. They did him a favor. But I can tell you that, well, can I get into it here? Spencer, pull up this commentary and just bear with me here a second. Okay? I'm going to explain a lot to you. The title of it today was The Republican Party Hates MAGA. Time out a minute. Let me ask you a question before I go another step further. Who is MAGA? Take Donald Trump out of the picture. Who is MAGA? I'm asking the question. Somebody tell me who is MAGA? Make America Great Again. Who is that? Would that be us? Would that be those of us who claim the name of Christ are just kind of sick and tired of everything that's going on, and we just want America to be first again? Huh? We don't want all of our money going to Israel. We don't want to, well, some of, that's a whole different story, right? Huh? Hmm? And when are we going to realize that the Republican Party elite hate us? Hey, Spencer, throw that picture back up there again, those people at the funeral, because I'm going to tell you something. Those people hate you. They're Republicans, and they hate you. Those people hate you, folks. That's the Uniparty. That's the Uni Party. You see it? They're all there. And Trump isn't. Not invited. J.D. Vance, not invited. Okay, let's get to the commentary. Get to it. I know this is from the Word. I know that the title, I said, The Republican Party Hates MAGA. I'm going to read this, not because I want bragging about what I wrote, but this is going to open some of your eyes. I know that the title of this commentary seems contradictory, but the truth is, some of President Trump's greatest opposition comes from within the Republican Party. That would be a boom. You don't have to say boom. That would be a boom. Not the new MAGA crowd, but the old guard Republican Party establishment wonks hate Donald Trump. Can you throw that picture back up there again, Spencer? Can you throw the picture of the Republican Party? They hate Trump. They hate him so much, they didn't invite him to their party. They invited Mike Pence. Interloper wasn't the term. Wasn't that the term that Al Sharpton used nearly two decades ago to describe a Jewish businessman who had opened a business in Harlem? And Webster's defines interloper as one who runs into business to which he has no right. I start the hot dog stand. Next thing I know, somebody's selling their own hot dogs right next to me. Make no mistake about it. The establishment Republican Party hates Donald Trump. Go back again. Show us those guys. Show us the establishment Republican Party. Can you do that for me? That same picture, Spencer. Just keep it ready to go, because you're going to see a divide. It's not, folks, it ain't Republican Democrat. It ain't Republican Democrat, okay? I'm going to say it again real slow. It isn't Republican Democrat. Make no mistake about it. The establishment Republican Party hates Trump. The career politicians who, that picture, if it was up there, who have spent their entire careers in the smoky back rooms cutting deals with their friends across the aisle, resent that this wealthy businessman has ventured into their political arena, where he jumped the shark on all of those politicians who carefully planned their journey to the top of the political hill known as Washington, D.C. All those people that you see at that funeral had kissed each other's asses, doing everything they could to climb the ladder. One day, they might be king. And what happens? Along comes this guy who ain't never been one of them. They hate Trump, not because of who he is or what he's done. No, they hate him because he jumped to the front of the line. In middle school, we used to call that dipping or ditching into the lunch line. Nobody liked dippers. That was Trump's most egregious behavior, jumping to the front of the line ahead of all the good old boys who'd labored climbing up the political ladder. In a city governed by the ambitious, they hated that this deal maker had not paid his dues, and they resented his interloping into their territory. All of the favors that the establishment had sold to their donors went flying out the window when DJT ascended to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Heck, he wasn't even a real Republican. Over the years, as a businessman, he'd purchased loyalties within the House of Congress, having friends on both sides of the house. Donald Trump bought influence as a businessman. Come on. Both parties loved Donald Trump because of the financial resources that he controlled. They all love Mr. Apprentice until he came messing in their porridge. How dare he crowd his way to the front of the line? Hey, Vinny, give me a boom. This is so good. I don't know if you got it. This is so good. The established Republican Party, who we just saw at the funeral, has never forgiven him. How in the hell did he get elected president when he wasn't really part of their club? How are we ever going to control him? They're asking themselves. Damn interloper. They wouldn't say that publicly. But that is what all the big cheese elephants thought. Who the hell is this guy? He hadn't kissed enough butts. He doesn't deserve this. So you see, that's why the Republicans didn't really fight for him in the aftermath of the clearly corrupt 2020 election. Let me stop right there. Hey, Ray, the Republican Party did not defend Donald Trump on J6. They didn't, folks, come on now. They didn't defend him. They threw him to the wolves, man. They threw Bill Dunphy to the wolves. They threw all the MAGA guys into the wolves. Because why? Because the Republican Party establishment hates MAGA. Spencer, hey, Spencer, come on, man. Throw that picture back up again of them at the funeral. Those people hate MAGA. Boom. By the way, that's you. They hate you, Ray. They hate you, Johnny. Hey, Glenn, those people hate you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't forget who these are. Don't forget who they are. Hang on. Go back. Standing right in the middle of them is Kamala. Wow. What a picture. Back where we were. By the way, these guys are going to try to overthrow the Republican Party again. They want the Bushes back in control. Go back to my commentary. That's why the Republicans didn't really fight for him in the aftermath of this 2020 election. The Republican establishment had spent 40 years rebuilding the party after Nixon and Watergate destroyed the brand. And finally, after years of polishing the brand, Donald Trump butts his way in and starts riding on top of their elephant. Blasphemous was the silent cry of the Bushes and the Cheneys and the Romneys and the McConnells and the Pences, the GOP establishment. They lifted not a hand. They didn't do a damn thing to investigate the clearly corrupt election. Why? They didn't want him in there. And sat silently as Mr. Trump endured more trials than the Capone Mafia. Republican establishment hates MAGA and the man behind whom it was formed. What's that old saying? If you shoot the king,
You better make sure you kill him. See, they tried to shoot the king and didn't. They wanted to kill MAGA. They didn't want to kill Trump. Folks, look at me. They hate you. But MAGA is alive and well. Before Trump, most conservatives only voted for Republicans because they hated the Democrats. Would everyone agree with that? So I can't vote for a Democrat. I'll vote for anybody. I'll vote for anyone. Everyone hated Washington, except those who ran Washington. As we've been so often reminded, the Republicans and Democrats are simply two wings of the same bird. Or as George Carlin famously said, Washington is one big club, and you ain't in it. Boy, this is good. Even though I can't brag a minute, Betty, this is good. Folks, this is it. This is it. Republicans hate Donald Trump. They hate MAGA. But MAGA's alive and well. Oh, I'm sorry. But there are cracks beginning to appear within the Republican Party. Mark Levin recently called MAGA supporters Jew haters, anti-Semites, Nazi. Anybody see that but me? Anybody see that but me? Mark Levin attacking MAGA. Attacking MAGA. They hate MAGA. He and Tucker are crossing swords over America first rather than Israel first. Candace Owens and others are stating that Charlie Kirk was killed because he would not cater to the Zionist mafia. Yes or no, folks? Tucker and Levin have their swords drawn. But not at communist Democrats. No, it's drawn at each other. The infighting. Why? Because they hate MAGA.
Amen.
What is it the scriptures say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. You see, it's hard to fight the real enemy at the gates when the crossfire is happening within your own camp. Please understand what I'm trying to tell you. The establishment is both parties full of career politicians who've spent their entire time in D.C. feathering their own nests, and both parties hate MAGA. Anybody picking up on this with me? The Republican Party is in for a huge awakening. Those Americans who elected Donald Trump did not vote for Republicans, folks. They voted for MAGA. They voted to make America great again. And most people who voted MAGA hate both political parties. Would that be us? Would that be us? You see, their failure to fundamentally transform the United States of America from Barack Hussein Obama, said those words, is stalled in the backstretch. Because DLT has been in office for 10 months and nothing seems to have changed. Could it be that those in power and those donors who support them like the way things operate in Washington, D.C.? Could it be that the Republican establishment are doing their best to run out the clock until they can get a company man back into the Oval Office? Interesting. One final thought. As I often say on my daily podcast, no one truly knows what team President Trump is playing on. He does a lot of things that make me scratch my head. But I can tell you one thing. The Republican Party is in control of both houses of Congress because of MAGA, not because voters support the Republican Party. Somebody give me a double thumbs up on that, right? See, they've misinterpreted it. They think Republicans have misinterpreted voting for Donald Trump as voting for Republicanism. It is sort of like when my wife and I go shopping. People look at us and smile. I used to think it was because I was such a good-looking guy. But now I've come to realize that most of them are trying to figure out how a squatty guy like me got such a beautiful wife. The Republican establishment hates Donald Trump and those he represents. They're trying to find out how he got such a beautiful wife. Can America be great again? Buckle up, because we're in for quite a ride.
Boom.
There's a boom, isn't it, folks?
Huh? Donald Trump's not a Republican. He, whatever. Look, look, I'm not here blowing my horn for Donald Trump. Well, I look, here's all I can tell you. Here's all I can tell you. Throw the picture back up there. Throw the picture back up there. Those people hate Donald Trump. And that's been America's leaders that got us in this mess. Yes or no? So, if they hate Trump, I'm for him. Hey, you judge a man by his enemies, don't you? You judge a man by his enemies. Boy, if they would ever do a real investigation on 911 and saw what really happened on 911 and who really set those bombs in the Twin Towers, if we would do that kind of investigation, those guys are all going to hope they're dead before that happens. And we're hearing today. Let me go there real quickly. Go to my stuff real quick, Spencer. Stuff on the show. Huh? Oh, yeah. You know what's about to happen? We're going to find some trials, baby. There's going to be some trials. Pull up number one real quick. I'm going to open it up. I'm sorry. I had to get this out of me. Pull up number one, Spencer. Trump calls for Democrats' arrests. Trump said these guys are traitors. They're traitors. Go on down there. See if we have the little girl, the press secretary. Keep going down. Go ahead and play that. Hey, folks. MAGA ain't Republican Party. MAGA ain't the Republican Party. Wait a minute. MAGA is the real Republican Party. Go ahead.
This morning, President Trump accused six Democratic lawmakers of seditious behavior punishable by death. Just to be clear, does the president want to execute members of Congress?
No. Let's be clear about what the president is responding to, because many in this room want to talk about the president's response, but not what brought the president to responding in this way. You have sitting members of the United States Congress who conspired together to orchestrate a video message to members of the United States military, to active duty service members, to members of the national security apparatus, encouraging them to defy the president's lawful orders. The sanctity of our military rests on the chain of command. And if that chain of command is broken, it can lead to people getting killed. It can lead to chaos. And that's what these members of Congress who swore an oath to abide by the Constitution are essentially encouraging. We have 1.3 active duty service members in this country. And if they hear this radical message from sitting members of Congress, that could inspire chaos and it could incite violence and it certainly could disrupt the chain of command. And so these members knew what they were doing. They were leading into their credentials as former members of our military, as veterans, as former members of the national security apparatus to signal to people serving under this commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, that you can defy him and you can betray your oath of office. That is a very, very dangerous message. And it perhaps is punishable by law. I'm not a lawyer. I'll leave that to the Department of Justice and the Department of War to decide.
The president and the vice president, for that matter, have accused the other side of encouraging political violence. Isn't that exactly what the president is doing when he says that members of Congress should be killed?
Why aren't you talking about what these members of Congress are doing to encourage and incite violence? They are literally saying to 1.3 million active duty service members not to defy the chain of command, not to follow lawful orders.
Actually,
every
they said
single
you can refuse an illegal order, which
but
is
they are
illegal.
But they're suggesting, Nancy, that the president has given illegal orders, which he has not. Every single order that is given to this United States military by this commander-in-chief and through this chain of command, through the Secretary of War, is lawful. And the courts have proven that. This administration has an unparalleled record at the Supreme Court because we are following the laws. We don't defy court orders. We do things by the books. And to suggest and encourage that active duty service members defy the chain of command is a very dangerous thing for sitting members of Congress to do. And they should be held accountable. And that's what the president wants to see.
Boom! Somebody, come on in. Folks, look. I can't say it enough. I got my eye on Trump. But can I tell you this? He sure as hell's got the right enemies. Come on in, Johnny.
I just can't help but just see how evil they are. This might be just crazy, okay? But what I see is they plant the seed to cover their own
yes.
guilt. Like they should, because they should be hung, but they're protecting themselves from what they should be charged with.
So Johnny, take Mike Pence. We could have done an investigation of that election so there would be no doubt whether it was clean or not. And they did the fake J6 thing. They did the fake J6 thing, and we still don't know whether the 2020 election was honest, right? Come on, folks. They hate MAGA. They cheated because they couldn't let him back in. They tried to throw him in jail. They charged him with all these crimes. They tried to assassinate him. Why? Because he ain't part of them. I don't know why we can't see it. I don't know why we can't see it.
They hate freedom. They hate righteousness.
They're after their own thing, man. They are their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, well, you know, one of his greatest talents that gets overlooked is that he knows how to expose who's who and what they're all about. He knows how to play the long game because he's a businessman. He knows that in time, this person's going to show their cards and who they are. Just like what you did with the picture of the funeral. He's so glad he's not there. Look who's there.
Look who's there. All of the power brokers, right? All the 911 power brokers. Put that picture back up there. All those 911. Now, come on, folks. Come on, folks.
He knows how to say things. He knows how to say things and do things.
Are honest people looking out for you. That's who hate him.
He knows how to say the right thing on a tweet or whatever, or do the right thing that seems subtle, just to sit back and watch the ants come out.
Amen.
It's amazing.
So look, hey, right there, that picture. Did you notice on the right shoulder of Camel Toes is Hillary? Anybody notice that? Is Bill there? Anybody see Bill? See, he's upsetting the apple cart. And friends, I don't know what his agenda is, but I know this. The right people hate him. That's all I know. Look at George Bush right there. Huh? Gulf War. 911, Al Gore trying to tell us that the lockbox, put it in the lockbox, and Al Gore says the election was stolen from him. And look at those scoundrels. Look at those scoundrels that are against President Trump. By the way, they loved him when he was funding all of their campaigns.
Yeah, worse than Muslim Matt. Barack Obama.
He didn't go either, from what I understand. He didn't go either, right? Folks, I'm telling you, man. Huh? You think those people, are they grieving Dick Cheney, or are they scared? I'm going to use a bad word. Are they scared shitless that they're about to be exposed? I got so much more stuff I could show you. But it's kind of unusual. I've rattled on quite a bit here. Folks. You don't have to be a man of God to be God's man. I don't totally trust Trump, but they hate him. And I trust him more than them. Somebody come on in.
You got 6 minutes left. Show us some more, Coach.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Okay, let's see. Here's where we're going to go, folks. Go to number three real quickly, because we don't know history. We don't know history. What number three, Spencer? You guys know what the Nuremberg trials were? We need another round of the Nuremberg trials, where political leaders, military leaders, were sentenced to death. Put it at about 1.5 speed and play it real quick. How quickly we forget that in two generations, we're back to a government selling us out again. Why? Because they are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. All right? Go ahead. Go ahead. Play it.
And World War II is over. Adolf Hitler is dead. It's 1945 and World War II is over. Adolf Hitler is dead. So are his top lieutenants, Heinrich Himmler and Joseph Goebbels. But dozens of high-level Nazis are still alive and in prison. What do the Allied powers do with them? They take him to court in their own backyard. The Nuremberg trials were a series of international prosecutions that decided the fates of Nazi war criminals. Why hold these trials in the German city of Nuremberg? Well, for one, unlike a lot of German towns, Nuremberg was relatively undamaged by the war. And, just as importantly, the city had been the site of several infamous Nazi rallies. Prosecuting Nazi leaders there brought a symbolic closure to the Third Reich. The trials were administered by the four principal nations of the Allied powers: the United States, Great Britain, the Soviet Union, and France. However, each of these countries had their own laws and legal system, and had to settle on a common framework of justice. They couldn't try each defendant four different ways. So in August of 1945, they all sat down and hammered out the London Charter of the International Military Tribunal. With the London Charter, the Allies agreed that the defendants would stand trial and be allowed to have their own defense attorneys. Instead of a single judge, there would be a tribunal, four judges, one from each Allied country. The London Charter also defined the three major charges each criminal would face: crimes against peace, like planning and starting a war; war crimes, such as killing POWs; and crimes against humanity, in other words, killing civilians, as the Nazis did during the Holocaust.
How about locking up J6ers?
The trials lasted at Nuremberg from 1945 to 1949. But the highest profile cases were brought to court between 1945 and 1946. This period was known as the trial of the major war criminals. Among the 22 Nazi leaders on trial at Nuremberg were Gestapo founder Hermann Göring, Deputy Führer Rudolf Hess, Nazi Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop, and the German architect Albert Speer. Two additional Nazis have been indicted, but one, Labor Chief Robert Ley, killed himself before the trials. The other, weapons manufacturer Gustav Krupp von Bohlen und Halbach, was declared mentally unfit. He was senile. Starting in November of 1945, the tribunal heard testimony and reviewed evidence for 216 court sessions. The horrors and crimes of the Nazis were put on display for all the world to see. In October of 1946, the court handed down its verdicts: 12 death sentences, including those for Göring and Ribbentrop. Three got life in prison, four got lengthy jail terms, and three were acquitted. Nothing could undo the devastation of the war. Nothing could bring back the millions of lives lost in the Holocaust and the millions more lost in battle. But the Nuremberg trials were an important step towards rebuilding an international system of justice. They established important legal precedents for future international trials, including those for Japanese war criminals, and for trials decades later in Rwanda and the former Yugoslavia. The Nuremberg trials officially entered the crimes of the Third Reich into the historical record, so that there would be no doubt about what the regime had done.
There you go. There you go. That's where we are. Are we going to see it? I don't know. Joseph, come on in.
And November 7th, speaking of that, the Nuremberg trial movie is coming out on November 7th.
Oh. Well, folks, do you understand what our government did? Put that picture back up there. Put the picture back up there, the deep stater. Do you have any idea what those people did to Bill Dunphy? Do you have any idea what they did to thousands of God-fearing MAGA supporters who simply showed up and wanted to have a good, fair election? Do you have any idea? Should justice be served for these guys? It's just absolutely, only the Lord, in my opinion, can orchestrate something like this, bring all those scoundrels together so we can all see the Republican Party and MAGA, the difference between the two. Now, here's what they're doing. Oh, man, I'm about out of time. They're doing the best they can to run out the clock on Trump. Three more years. If they can just get three more years. I saw today, I don't have it in front of me, news is out there, the Bushes are trying to restore the Republican Party. Yeah, the Bushes. They're going to get the Republican Party back in line where it's supposed to be, so that you MAGA idiots just fall in line and vote for whoever they put out there. Better buckle up, man. We are in quite a ride. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.